in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Make a racket up here. The book of Exodus, chapter number 29, is where we'll find our verses and text at for this afternoon. Exodus chapter number 29, or Exodus 30, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter number 30. And we'll read a verse or two down toward the middle part of the chapter and give you what the Lord has given to us for this afternoon. If you want to stand and stretch your legs, stand out of respect to the Word of God, whatever you want to do, you can. We'll read verse number 17 and verse number 18 and verse number 19. And then you leave your Bible open because we'll return back to this passage of Scripture. Chapter number and verse number 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation of the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Let's go ahead and read the next two verses. And when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near unto the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Lord, we love you this afternoon. We're thankful for the opportunity and the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the good songs that we've heard, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here with these people. And I pray that you'd bless us in these few minutes, that we would say something to edify the body of Christ. Let us be a blessing to the congregation, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. And we've been moving through the book of Exodus, talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness. That comes as no surprise to you. But tonight we have come to the seventh and the last piece of furniture, the last article of furniture mentioned in the tabernacle. And this is what is referred to as the laver in verse number 18. Between the giving of the altar of incense and the laver, the Lord gives instruction for the atonement money. And we may come back and talk about that atonement money in a few weeks. I don't know. But I wanted to walk through each piece of furniture before we covered anything else. In this passage of Scripture, we discover that God gives Moses the instructions that he is to make a brass or a brazen laver. And he also gives them a solemn warning about this article of furniture. In fact, he gives it to them in verse number 20, and he gives it to him again in verse number 21. And the warning is this: if Moses and his sons are going to minister in my house, they better wash themselves first. And if they don't wash themselves twice, God says they shall die. Do you see it in verse 20? And again in verse 21, we see a warning given by God regarding the use of this piece of furniture. I want you to look at verse 21. God says this. He said, and they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever unto them, even to him and his seed throughout their generations. Now, although this article of furniture was the seventh mentioned in the Scripture, if you study the layout of the tabernacle, you'll discover that this was actually the second piece of furniture that you would come to when you entered the tabernacle area. If you was to enter the gate on that east side, the very first thing you would encounter, of course, would be that brazen altar, that altar of sacrifice where those animals died on a daily and a continual basis. And then after you left that altar of sacrifice, you would then come to the brazen altar. That brazen altar was located between the burning altar and the tabernacle proper itself. It was the second thing in the service of God. And every time a priest made his way into the tabernacle, they first had to stop by the brazen altar and wash themselves. Now, less is said about this piece of furniture than any other piece of furniture given to us thus far. This, however, does not mean that what takes place at this altar is of little significance. The words used to describe the laver are few in meaning, but they are great in significance. According to verse number 21, a priest was commanded to wash himself before he served. We know that the work of the Old Testament priest was never done. There was no chairs. When we talk about furniture, we often think about chairs and couches and sofas. We like to sit down, don't we? We think about that kind of furniture. But there were no chairs given to the priest. You know why? Because he couldn't sit down. His work was never done. He was constantly moving and constantly doing, constantly working. Sin always had to be dealt with. There was no place to sit down. They were always working. Now, if they had to always wash before they worked, what does that tell you? That tells you that they were constantly washing themselves. It was a continual act of washing. This was not a one-time washing, but a continual washing. This is something done day by day. It was done year by year. It was done generation after generation. According to verse number 21, it was a washing for all times throughout all generations. Now, you may have picked up on this by now. If you've not, let me show you what this laver is a picture of. This laver is a type or a picture of the washing that you and I get through the Word of God. The laver is a type or a picture of the Holy Scriptures. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse number 9, that great psalm about the Scriptures, the psalmist said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." You know what David said in that great psalm about the Word of God? He said a young man can clean himself up. He can wash himself. He can bathe himself in the Word of God. John 15:3, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You see, this laver is a type and a picture of the Word of God. It is a type and picture of the cleansing that you and I receive through the power of the Holy Scriptures. Do you understand that there's enough power in the pages of that King James Bible to clean your life up and to keep your life clean? I can't sing, so I won't try, Brother David. But if I could, right here, I would sing this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation which I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, but now it keeps me from sin. Amen. You see, this Bible will clean you up, and it will keep you clean if you keep your nose in it. The picture of the laver being the Word of God is seen several times throughout the pages of the Bible. In the wilderness, they called this the brazen laver. When Solomon built his temple, they called it the molten sea. In the book of the Revelation, you remember that great tabernacle that's in heaven that Moses modeled his after. It's got a brazen laver too. But it's a little different. In the book of the Revelation, it's called the sea of glass. And the Bible tells us that the only difference between the brazen laver and the molten sea and that sea of glass is that that water has solidified in heaven, and the saints of God are pictured standing on it in the book of the Revelation. You know why that is? Because here while we're on earth, we are constantly needing that water to wash ourselves and to cleanse ourselves. But honey, when we make it into the other side and we go through that judgment seat, we receive those white garments and our sins have been dealt with on the cross and our works have been dealt with at the judgment seat. We're clean and we're white. We don't need washing anymore, but we'll stand on that sea for all eternity to forever remind us of the cleansing power that was in the Word of God. You see, the Word is a powerful word. It is a cleansing word. According to Exodus chapter 30, the priest was not allowed to minister in the work of the Lord if he didn't wash himself first. Can I slow down for a minute right here and say something? I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. A man or a woman with dirty hands, dirty feet, cannot minister in the work of God. That does not matter if you're the pastor of the church, you're the song leader, you're the Sunday school teacher, you're the usher, you're the offering taker-upper. Hey, if you're going to do something for God, you better have your hands and your feet clean if you expect God to bless you for it. The psalmist said in Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully." You see, God requires for a man or a woman to be clean if they are going to work in His work. I find it interesting that God doesn't only require us to be clean, but God provides a way for us to be clean. God never requires something of us that He doesn't also provide a way for us to accomplish what He's required. And God not only wanted these men to be clean, He provided a laver by which they could wash themselves and be clean. God requires you and me to be clean individuals, and He has provided us 66 books whereby we can keep ourselves clean. You know why most people, let me pause for a moment and help you out with something. You know why most people have a hard time keeping themselves clean, spiritually speaking and naturally speaking? You know why they're all the time getting into trouble? They all the time have difficulties and problems in their life. Why they all the time, they can't ever seem to not be in sin. You know why that is? It's because they don't spend much time right here and down on their knees in prayer. Because if they spend a bunch of time right here and they spend a bunch of time down there, they wouldn't have enough time to be messing around in the world, and there'd be something down in here that'd be keeping them from all that mess. Amen. That's right. People don't come to church. They won't come to church for weeks and months at a time, and then they wonder why it is that they're having such a hard time living the Christian life. It's because you've not been around the Word of God lately. Amen. God wants us to be clean, does He not? God's provided us a way that we can be clean. I want you to notice a few things, and then we'll get into our points and all that stuff here in a minute. I want you to notice a few things interesting about this laver. First of all, nowhere in the Scriptures does it mention the size or the shape of the laver. It just doesn't tell us its shape. We assume that it's round. The reason that we assume that it's round is because when Solomon built his temple, he built it as a replica of the tabernacle in the wilderness, just more grand. And when Solomon built his tabernacle, he built the lavers round. And therefore, we can assume that the tabernacle in the wilderness, the laver, was round because Solomon's was round. But that makes sense. That's fitting because a circle, as we've mentioned so many times, symbolically has no beginning and it has no end. For the laver to be round, it tells us that there was no beginning, there was no end. It was forever. Maybe we could say it this way: Thy word is forever settled in heaven, O Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words, they'll never pass away. It's a continual circle. It's a never-ending type thing. But you know what that also tells me? The fact that it has no beginning and no end tells me that it has no limitations. It has no starting point, and it has no ending point. It has always been able to get the job done the Word of God has, and it will always be able to get the job done. The Word of God, God's Word, got the job done in the Old Testament. It got it done in the days of the past. It is getting the job done today, and the Word of God will get the job done tomorrow. We've got everything we need right here. It is limitless. It is very powerful, and it can get the job done. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, talking about that never-ending word, it says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God shall stand forever." Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." You see, this was a circle. It was never-ending, a picture of the word of God. I think God knew what he's doing when he made it round. You know, something else I discover, not only do we not know its shape, but we don't know its size. Nothing is said about the size of the laver. That makes sense again, because again, the word of God, it has no limitations. God's place of cleaning is large enough so that everybody that wants to be clean can be clean. God put no size requirements on it. God put no limitation. You know, when we talked about the cubits, we talked about limitations, didn't we? We said that cubits or measurements meant limitations. If it's a cubit and a half tall, it had limitations. That table of showbread, not everybody could fellowship there. Some limitations were given. But that laver, no measurements are given. You know why? There's no limits. There's no limitations to the word of God. Everybody that wants to be clean can be clean through the pages of the word of God. God's place of cleaning is large enough for everybody. When Jesus died on the cross, he shed enough blood to save the whole world. And just the fact that the whole world doesn't get saved doesn't mean there wasn't enough blood to save them. He had enough to save the whole world. And this Bible right here, it is limitless. It is powerful enough to clean up the entire world. It's just a matter of whether you choose to come to the water or not. God's provision for cleaning was large enough, and it was adequate for everybody who come. There's enough water in the Word of God to clean the entire world. There's enough water in the Word of God to clean you up now. And there'll be some more water tomorrow to clean you up then. And if you need to come back the next day and get clean again, there'll be enough water there. And 10 years from now and 100 years from now, if we go on that long, there'll be enough water right here to clean you up and to clean your children up and to clean their children up. There's enough water for everybody. If you study the tabernacle text, you'll discover that the laver, I'm getting ahead of myself on my pictures. I'm getting a little ahead on my slides. You'll discover that the laver was the only piece of furniture that did not have a cover given to be used during a time of transportation. There's no cover. You know, they had those cloths that would cover the Ark of the Covenant and the table of showbread. They would cover those things. There was no covering given for the laver. That's interesting. You see, That Ark of the Covenant, that's the place where God's presence was. Only one person got to see that the power of the presence of God. Only one person, that's the priest. A table of showbread where the priest would fellowship with God. Nobody else got to see that, just the priest. And when they'd take it out before everybody else, just the world, they'd cover it up. Nobody got to see that. That candlestick that reflected that glow of the Holy Ghost. Just the priest got to see that. But this brazen laver, as they would travel from place to place, they wouldn't cover it up. You see, there's something special reserved for the child of God. There's a place next to God in His presence that you and I dwell, that we can experience and that we can enjoy that the world cannot see. They cannot understand. The lost man cannot grasp the power of being in the presence of God. They don't understand that. But that word of God, it's not hid to anybody. God doesn't want that covered up. He doesn't want that hid to anybody. He wants the word plain and clear and out there for anybody who wants to look into it. God's word is available. There's something special for you and me that we see. But this right here, God wants the whole world to see this. God wants the whole world to see this Word of God. It's not without significance that the laver is the last piece of furniture mentioned. The Word of God was very late in being finished itself, was it not? It began all the way back there in Genesis 1:1 within the beginning. And it wasn't till all the way many years after Pentecost that it was finally completed. It was laid on the scene in its completion. And therefore, it is not without significance that God gives us this laver last. I want you to notice this, and then I'll get into my points. I want you to notice that there was only one laver. God only provided one laver for washing. Even so, there's only one Word of God needed for washing today. Let me say this. God said everything He wanted to say right here in the pages of the Word of God. I don't need new revelation. I don't need to look into the Dead Sea Scrolls. Amen. I don't need to read and see what the Muslims have to say. And I don't need to read. I've got God's Word right here. God said everything He wanted to say when He said it in the pages of this Word of God. And if a man wants to be clean, they'll get clean right here. Or they'll not get clean at all. I want you to notice this, number one. I'm moving at this point. I want you to see the work of brass. The work of brass. Look at verse 18. And thou shalt also make a laver of brass. With few exceptions, the metal used outside of the tabernacle, I've told you, was brass. Brass is a picture of judgment in the Word of God. Judgment, did you know that judgment is one of the characteristics of the Bible. In fact, again, I refer to you to that great chapter of the Word of God, Psalms 119. Did you know that in Psalms 119, the word judgment is mentioned 15 times? Jesus Himself said in John 12:48, He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. Who do you think it is that judges him? Well, He tells us. He says, He hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You see, He made it of brass because He said it'd be a place of judgment. And this Word of God is a place of judgment. You see, here's the truth. God has given us this Bible. We have no excuse not to be clean, not to read it, not to know what it says. And you'll never be able to stand before God and say, well, God, I didn't know that. Because God would then take the Word of God and say, well, right there it was. And you see, every time this Bible is in your lap, and you read it and it speaks to your heart and you don't do what it says, it's judging you. And every time a man of God gets behind a pulpit and he preaches what thus saith the Word of God, and you walk out the back doors and ignore what was said, there's judgment on you for that. This Bible judges. We're required to know it and keep it. Keep it dear in our heart. That's why that psalmist in Psalms 119 said, I'm going to hide that word in my heart that I might not sin against God. He said it would be made of brass. I want you to notice something interesting with me. Turn over a few pages if you still got your Bible open to Exodus chapter 38. Exodus chapter 38. And look what the Bible says in verse number 8. Notice what the Word of God says now. It says, and He made the laver of brass and the foot of it of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I want you to notice this with me. The purpose of the women at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation was for the purpose of sewing the veil. That's what they did. They sewed the veil, the curtains, and so on and so forth. Now, The Bible tells us that when Moses makes this brazen laver in chapter 38, verse 8, that he makes it out of the looking glasses of the women working there at the tabernacle when it was being constructed. This is what had happened. The Egyptians, when they were in Egypt, the Egyptian women had a custom of carrying a looking glass or mirror with them when they would go to their temple. Now, mirrors in this day were a lot different than mirrors in our day. In fact, the picture that's up on the wall right now is an ancient Egypt artifact. It's a woman's looking glass. They would take a piece of metal and they would polish that metal until it was a very reflective in nature. And then they could use it to look at themselves. That was their looking glass. Now watch what chapter 38 verse 8 says. It says, Moses made the brazen laver out of the looking glasses of the women. Allow me to say in passing that pride was an issue in this day, just as it's an issue today. You know what these women were doing, Brother David? They were down there, supposed to be working on the house of God, and they couldn't work because they kept looking in their mirror. Amen. That's what they were doing, neighbor. They brought a mirror with them to work. Had to check their hair every once in a while. In that hot desert sun. Woo, I got to fix my hair. Had to check their makeup. See how it was. Do you know that vanity is still a hindrance in the work of God today? You'd be surprised how many people come to church, but they can't listen and they can't enjoy church because they're too busy looking at what everybody else is wearing and how everybody else did their hair and, you know, what everybody else is doing in their pew. And they can't pay attention to anything that's going on. I can't believe she wore that dress. She wore that dress 4 Sundays ago. I can't believe she wore that again today. It's funny, but it's true. I've been around church long enough to know. A woman in the church thinks another woman looks better than she does, and she'll have a falling out with God in her heart over it. She can't enjoy service. She can't enjoy God because she's afraid somebody else looks nicer that day than she does. God help us. The Bible says that Moses now took these looking glasses, and from the looking glasses, he made the laver. Isn't it interesting that this laver, a type of the Word of God, was made out of mirrors? Thousands of years later, James would say in James chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, he said, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know what James said? James said, when a man looks in this word of God, he sees himself looking back. He sees all the smudges and the smears that are on his face. And then he has to do something about it. He can either turn and walk away and be the same man, or he can clean himself up by this same word of God. Amen. Therefore, we learn that the laver was made of the looking glasses of the women, and because it was a highly polished metal, when the priest came to the laver to wash themselves, guess what they saw staring back at them? They saw their face. They saw their hands. And they knew what needed to be clean. For a woman to carry a looking glass with them down to the house of God tells me something about that looking glass. It tells me that it was pretty important to them. It'd be like today if you was to leave home and get about halfway down the block and realize that you left your cell phone at home. And by the time you made it back to your house, you would be close to a panic attack. Sweat would be dropping off your face. You would be shaken because you made it half a block and you did not have your cell phone. That's right. What if somebody called me in the half block that I... Who calls people? Don't call anybody. text them. Amen goes right there. But it tells me it was pretty important if they were carrying it with them everywhere they went. You know what that means? If they were willing to give that up and give it to Moses so that he could make the laver where they could get clean, you know what that tells me? That tells me that these women were willing to give up something that was important in their lives if that's what it took to get clean. You know, sometimes we struggle with getting clean, and the reason we're struggling so much to get clean is because there's something or there's someone in our life that is a hindrance to us. And until we're willing to hand that thing over to God, He can't get us clean like we need to be clean. They gave them up so that Moses could clean them up. According to the scriptures, the laver had a foot or a ledge about it. Again, we don't know anything about the size of this laver, but we can imagine that this ledge around the bottom, it may very well could have been large enough, some people say, that they actually could have stood on it, separating them from the earth as they washed themselves. That would make sense, so that the thing that was washing them was also the thing that was separating them from the thing that got them dirty in the first place. God's Word washes us and it separates us. In these days, people didn't bathe in standing water. A Jew wouldn't get in a bathtub filled with water and bathe in standing water. They wouldn't do that. They always bathed in running water, pouring water. Therefore, they didn't just stick their hands in the laver to wash it. Rather, they would dip water out of the laver and they would pour it over their hands and their feet. And they would rub their hands on their feet. That way they could wash them both. I see the work of the brass. I see number two, the water for bathing. Verse 18 says, "Thou shalt make a laver of brass, and its foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat." We don't know where the original water came from to fill up this laver. We can assume the water originally came from the smitten rock. That's where they got their water at in the wilderness, from the rock that was smitten, a type and a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that smitten rock, that crucified one, He not only provided a way of salvation, He provides a way of cleansing. When that soldier pierced his side, what did the Bible say? Forthwith came blood and water. He'll save you and then He'll get you clean. Water was necessary for life. Water was necessary for cleansing. But did you know that water in your Bible is a picture of death? You say, how do you figure that? How could water be a picture of death? You ask the people in Noah's day what they think about water. They'll tell you it's death. Water is death. Did you know that the water of the Word of God will kill you and give you life at the same time? This Bible will kill the old man and give life to the new man all at the same time. The Holy Spirit applies the water to our life. It brings life and death. Most Jewish commentators say that the water of the laver had to be replaced daily, meaning that it was used frequently, it was used often. I would imagine that the priest would use it throughout the day, not only for washing, but I'm going to guess he probably used it for refreshing too. Can you imagine standing on your feet in the hot desert sun all day long and working all day long? It'd probably feel nice to take some of that water every once in a while and pour it over your hands and pour it over your feet. As you and I travel through this wilderness, through this desert land that we're traveling in, there's a way by where we may be able to refresh ourselves and get some cool drink every once in a while. And it's in the Word of God. You ever come to church and you're just tired and you're wore out and you're weary from the week that you've had and the world has just beat you down and you're tired and you don't know if you can even make it to church, but you go anyways. And by the time you leave, you feel better than you felt all week long. You know what happened? You got around the Word of God, and that cool water flowed over you. And it not only did some cleaning, but it did some refreshing as well. I find it interesting that the laver stood between the place of sacrifice, the place of God's presence and God's fellowship. You see, the brazen altar, the place where sacrifice was made, that's a type of salvation, that's a type of justification. That laver, that's a type of sanctification. Justification takes but a moment. Sanctification, well, it'll take the rest of your life. You can get saved immediately, but if you're going to get clean, it's going to be a lifelong process to be clean and stay clean. The Bible says that the very first time the priest washed themselves, that Moses did the washing. Moses was the very first one to wash Aaron and his sons. But every time after that, Aaron and his sons had to wash themselves. You know what God did for you the day you got saved? He washed you. He cleaned you up. But after that day, if you're going to be clean, it's going to be up to you. You're going to have to get right here. You're going to have to get on your knees. You're going to have to be clean. 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to see this last of all. I want you to see the warning of the basin. Verse 21, God tells them twice, you either wash or you die. It wasn't a matter of want to. He wasn't giving them an option. Aaron and his sons were commanded to wash or they would die. God never said, now Aaron, now if you feel like it today, you wash yourself. He didn't say that. He said, if you minister, you better wash yourself first or you'll die. You know what I've noticed? I've been around people a long time. I picked a few things up along the way. You know something I've noticed? Notice if a person doesn't wash themselves in a few days, they kind of start becoming repulsive to everybody else that they're around. That's exactly right. You know, in fact, if you don't wash yourself on a regular basis, it's not good for your health. It can start to affect the health of your body because you're not clean. I've been around church a long time, too, and I picked up on a couple things. You know what I've picked up on? Them people that don't ever wash themselves in the Word of God, they eventually become repulsive to all the other people that they come around. They're the ones that are hard to get along with. They're the ones that you can't ever do anything to satisfy them in church. Don't matter. It's always too hot. It's too cold. The sermon's too short. It's too long. It don't matter what time you start. It's never a good time for them. Them same folk, I promise you, they don't read their Bible during the week. That's why they're so repulsive to everybody else. Now watch this. If you don't wash yourself in that Word of God on a regular basis, it'll eventually start to affect your health spiritually. You'll get sick spiritually because you've not been cleaning yourself up. God has provided a way whereby men and women, boys and girls, can be clean, spiritually clean. We worry so much about this outer man. And I believe you ought to take care of yourself. I don't think a Christian ought to be sloppy. I think you ought to take care of yourself. But if we worried as much about the inward man as we worried about the outer man, just like that, we'd have revival overnight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be in your house. Preach the Word of God. I pray that we've said something, God, that has edified the body of Christ, that has challenged someone here tonight. Lord, we realize that in the pages of the Word of God, you have given us a commandment And that commandment is to wash and to be clean and to be holy. You said, be holy, for I am holy. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire in our hearts to leave out of this building tonight, to keep ourselves clean. Clean through the word that you have given to us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.